I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
And would you like to make a motion for approval of the agenda?
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Oh, you know what? I need to make a motion to approve the agenda, not the consent agenda.
Right. Oh.
I was just.
But we already voted on the consent agenda, so I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
There we go.
So I'm going to do a presentation. I did this this is part of the presentation that we gave at our council retreat. I kind of took from that, and then last week, I gave this presentation at the Chamber Luncheon, and next week it's the presentation that I'll be doing at Tri-Cities meeting. So anyway, the council had asked me if I would do it for everybody, so I said I would do that. And oh, one other thing, I wanted to welcome Barbara back.
Oh, yay!
And we're all really excited about it.
Amen.
Mayor, Mayor Benson, could you state what Barbara's position is for those who don't know? Could you state what Barbara Kincaid's position is?
I just said she was a community development director.
I'll turn up my hearing aids.
We didn't hear.
I didn't hear.
No, thank you. I'm getting
that. Oh.
It clicked fast, didn't it?
Yeah. So this is the most recent picture of the council and the mayor, and we took that after we had Chris Wisnowski was sworn in, so we have a new picture. So our population is now at 4,335, and when we get to 5,000, we'll have to go to seven council members versus five council members. And we've already got the paperwork written up, but the new council kind of wanted to wait a little bit and see how they all work together before we got to new, brand new people on the council. So they kind of postponed that for now. So this is just a chart of how the population has grown since 2010. And so we expect it to grow a lot more in the next couple of years. It'll still be pretty slow, but there's 200 homes that have been approved in the development. The budget that we passed last year was $8.2 million. And we have our own police department, court, water, sewer, streets, and stormwater, and we have our own cemetery. And last year, we got a lot of extra sales tax from the building of the Enumclaw Elementary School in Black Diamond. So it created a positive position for the city, and we just work really hard to have a strong financial background.
Some of them remember took longer to load. Maybe they're taking longer to load, some of them.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, this is a picture of our city hall and then the clerk's office and the finance department, IT services. Greg on the very far left is a new employee. Our previous clerk had her husband found a job, and so she moved away. And he used to work for the bank, so we're actually really familiar with him. So. Mm-hmm. He's worked out really well. And this is some of the things that the finance department and IT and customer service, and we do passports and licenses and cemetery services, and we prepare council packages and provide legal notices and coordinate elections. So this is some of the stuff that the clerk and the finance department do for the city. And this is our community development and public works, and we even managed to get a picture of Barb in there. And the picture with the public works is in front of the pump station that was painted last year by our Arts Commission, Black Diamond Arts Alliance. And if you haven't been up to see it before, it's absolutely beautiful. They painted all four sides of a really ugly gray cement building. So it really turned out really nice. And then these are our employees in the Community Development Department. And we have a lot of city projects going on besides the MPDs. We have single family homes, not just in the master developments, but we have three short flats, a Butts short flat, Curtis Lane short flat, Arboretum, and then Garrett Custom Homes has 16 homes up in
Lawson
Hills Estates. Then we have two commercial buildings that have been permitted, Spartan Storage and Providence Electric on 169. And then we have a chip seal program that we have a grant for, and we're working on the 169 North Commercial Stormwater Treatment Plant, the Covington Culvert Rehab, which somebody drove into over the weekend, so we have a little bit more work than we planned on having to do. And actually, they have a little scratch. It was the person that drove into it had a little scratch, and they were in a convertible, and the car went upside down, so... Really strange. And then we have the sidewalk and the bridge on Roberts Drive, and we're working on the Ginder Creek Trail. And then this is our new elementary school that opened this year, and it was actually ahead of construction. And we have not only the Enumclaw School District, which the school is part of, but we also have kids that attend the Homeland Camp School. So anyway, in the process of increasing walkability, the Ginder Creek Trail will go from Roberts Drive to Morgan Street. And then this is the design drawing of what the sidewalk and the bridge repair will look like when it's done. And then we have our own water department. We have a natural springs that's located east of town, and the water department provides very clean water. We did purchase, because of the development, some water from Tacoma Water, but hopefully we won't have to turn that on for some time, because it's going to cost a lot more than $57 a month. So we want to delay turning that on as long as possible, because so that we have the cost can be covered by the new development. And then this is the MDR team. And they went down the 10 trails. They finally finished the signs, so they went down and had their pictures taken. So we have our MDR team that work in one of the trailers behind City Hall. So we've got approximately two houses permitted and more projects coming up. But they put up flower baskets, and this is the home that's been open. None of the other ones are complete yet. And then they've got an aerial view of the roundabout, and we're hoping to get some kind of recognition for the roundabout, because it's the greatest roundabout in the world.
GPS has you go around it this way, not around it.
Yeah. So some of the things that the master plan developments are going to be doing this year is there's a final engineering for Division 1A, there's a Phase 1 in-track final engineering for B13, Flat 2A and 2D final engineering to commence construction. And then there's commercial building permits for commercial buildings within 10 trails. I think there's two in right now. I think there's another one that's coming. And there's approximately six final plat approvals and approximately four preliminary plat hearings. And then there's
going to be another roundabout where the construction entrance is now, and then we're going to have the roundabout at Roberts Drive and Ravensdale Road that we're working on right now, hoping to get that accepted by Washington State Department of Transportation. And we've looked at locations for the fire station so that we can start building a new fire station. So these are all the intersections that the Master Development Review Team, or the Master Plan Development, has agreed to do. And there's actually 31 intersection improvements, and we've done, three now? So there's a lot more improvements as we move along, how many intersection improvements are going to happen. And this is our great police force, and we have 9 policemen, active policemen right now. And I was impressed with the accident report, because Seth had requested one because of insurance purposes for the culprits and stuff. And they, both of them, Keller and Henrich, are very articulate. They did a really good job on the accident report. And then some of the things we do is Chief Bourdais, we still do DARE, and Shop with the Cop, Boots and Badges, and we're the 15th safest city in the state of Washington. And then we have been doing traffic school, and we also have recently purchased some fatal vision goggles that model marijuana and alcohol if you're under the influence, and so they use that as part of that class. And so we hold classes as often as necessary, once or twice a month. And actually, EMPA comes to our traffic school also, so we have we're doing it, so we get the money from the traffic school. And then we have our own municipal court, and it's really nice to be able to know your defendants and work closely with the police, and the defendants have access to justice in our own community. They don't have to go outside the community to go to court. And then we contract with Mountain View Fire and Rescue, and we have been doing this for a number of years, and Black Diamond was the last area that they included that we contracted with. And then that's our 1948 our first fire truck, and Joe Androsco rehabbed it along with some other citizens. And Keith Tim, that's standing there on the left, he was our first fire chief. And then we have lots of parks. We have the Lake Sawyer Regional Park, which is a view of the lake and the mountain, and Union Stump and the skateboard park, Eagle Creek, the Little League baseball field, and the BMX pump track. And here's some pictures of the lake and the eagle in the lake and some of our trails that we have, biking trails and hiking trails. And we just recently put some new signs up. So here's the public works crew that worked on putting the signs up in the Lake Sawyer Regional Park. People that worked with us, they did most of the signage with the help of the Public Works Department, and then the Public Works Department had to dig 5-foot holes to put it in, and so they built it at the parking lot. And then here's some of the signage. There's 4 signs in the park, and then the kiosk here. So there was a lot of effort that went into this for the city together, partnering with King County and the city and the Great Parks Foundation. And then this is just some pictures of the Lake Sawyer Regional Park that Kevin went out and took the other day. So the geese up here, they've got 3 babies right now, 3 little goslings. They had 4. One of them's already disappeared. And this one down in the left-hand corner, she had 3, and now she only has 2. The bass actually eat them, and the eagles come in. Eagles of the osprey come and eat them. And these are some of the activities on the lake. There's somebody wakeboarding, and the police checking people out, fishing. Boat launch park people are putting their kayaks in, and jet ski pulling some individuals. I have to go out in the middle of the lake to see the mountain because I can't see it from And then we have a community events that we put on every year. And we have Welsh Day is June 9th. Memorial Day service is on May 28th at the cemetery. Miners Day is July 7th. Labor Day is September 1st to the 3rd. And Hometown Christmas is on December 8th. And we have other events that we bring to the city. We've had Tough Mudder, we have triathlons, we have fun runs and walks. We have our own gym that you can see they're playing volleyball right now, and there's pictures of the fireworks on the lake and the Franklin coal mine car that if anybody's going on that tour, and the museum, if anybody's going on that tour on Saturday, we're having another one that leaves from the museum on Saturday at 9 if anybody's interested in going. And so that's it. So if you have any questions about any of the projects or anything that's going on, I'd be glad to answer. Thank you.
Nice, thank you.
So was that official that we approved the consent agenda? Okay.
Apparently. I goofed, but oh well.
So next on the agenda is public comments. People wishing to get up and speak to the council, please come up to the podium and state your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Pat.
Pat Nelson, Black Diamond. My public comments may be a little different. I've got people here who are asking me to help me with this. So Melissa, if you could come up here. Kevin, you're the one with the camera skills. It's National Police Week. And one thing we have is the best police department in the entire world. And I have an idea to help out, and I've got with Melissa because she knows people in school. We built the banner for you guys. And all the students at the school signed it for you, for your office. And we want you guys to put it up where you want. And the kids were super excited, so they got to get out of class. Everybody watching the, they had to take them on a table. And the teachers were sitting there, they lined them up and just signed, go. And I'm like, wasn't really the thought that we want to give this to you guys, that you know that you're the best. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for all that you guys do. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Wow.
Oh, awesome.
And we ask that you take those and fill those out later. And I really want to thank Melissa for being able to yell at school. I had a family member she had to run out. Can I get a picture of you guys? Just
sure.
Come on, Melissa, you got to be here. You just got
yes, you're
you
no
just
way.
The phone.
Oh, come on. Here, please,
come on.
Boy, let's go.
Come on. Yeah. I still got a minute 18. Okay, anything else? Thanks for letting me take over that. You guys are awesome. We have the best police ever. You got one more day. Thank you, local police officers. This happened, I put it together in 2 days. I hope you have a council meeting next year during Police Week because I've got something even bigger and funner. There might be a spoof video. I'm still not getting ready for it, but thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Robin.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. Consent agenda was quickly passed, which is no problem, but I just wanted to call attention to one big issue in the consent agenda, and that was the item of bringing forward the past minutes to pass that were not passed, and I breezed through them today, and I just wanted to call attention to it. It is a PDF file that is 173 pages long. It encloses encapsulates 10 meetings from 2016 and 12 meetings from 2017 that the minutes were never approved by the council at that time. That is a total of 22 meetings that the minutes were never approved by that council. So with this, we can hopefully put that sad and dark era behind us. Even though the city has to still dig out from some stuff, I can only imagine, and there's still fallout from those 2 years. I just wanted to point out, this is a travesty that happened over a two-year period, and thankfully the citizens of Black Diamond saw the light and elected good elected officials to help run our city and to get us back on track. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I'm from Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And some of you may have seen a message I sent about this earlier about the minutes that were in the consent agenda from many meetings in 2016 and 2017. And at least 12 of those never had drafts that I could find prior to tonight. So they were never drafted by the clerk and the mayor, not presented to any past council, no opportunity for approval. I think that's important to realize that the issues around meeting minutes went a lot deeper and certainly were not a prior council simply delaying, but you can't approve something the clerk has never drafted. I would encourage you still, as my message did encourage, to go back and review those. They can certainly be amended if there are problems, because it's hard to believe that with 19 meetings coming up in one night that anyone could have actually reviewed them for accuracy all at this week. So thank you for the chance to comment.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. So we have three public hearings tonight. So, Mr. Botcher.
You have the agenda. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. The first public hearing we have before us tonight is the hearing on a new franchise for Puget Sound Energy. We have a franchise now that will be expiring in August. We've worked through this with city staff and our attorney, David Linehan, and Jeff Payne is here from Puget Sound Energy, and he was heavily involved in negotiating this with the city. And it's patterned pretty much after the franchise that we worked very hard on in 2009 on the gas, for natural gas. So that's some background, and I'd be glad to take any comments from the public on this franchise update. Basically, this is how we do business with utility companies that need rights for their utilities within our public right-of-way. So open to comments. Thank you.
Did council have any questions? So is there anybody wishing to comment on the 10-year franchise agreement? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. Irk, do you want me to continue it till the next meeting when we accept it?
That's up to the council. I don't know if there's any need for that, but you're open.
Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and close that public hearing then. So water use efficiency.
The next public hearing we have is, according to Department of Health rules, we need to take public, give a chance for public input on our water use efficiency. Water use efficiency basically encompasses three areas. Our customers' conservation, elimination of wasted water, for instance, like through leaks, and then accounting, making sure that our accounting of the water that we pump is accurate. So we have improved over the past 10, 15 years, we've improved. We have much better water accounting. We replaced all of our meters. So meters tend to run a little slower. So they weren't necessarily recording all of the water that was going through them. On the customer side, the council adopted tiered rates, which for people that are using large amounts of water, they pay a lot more. So that hits people in the pocketbook, and they tended to use less water when we introduced tiered rates. Over that long period with low interest rates and better appliances, people have put in much more efficient appliances. Cities replaced a lot of water mains, and also in some through development, as well as eliminated a lot of leaks. We've also found a lot of leaks. And then we also have an education component to giving people conservation tips. So since about 2003, we've probably averaged to maybe about saving about 2 gallons per customer per day. What we're recommending is the same goal that we've had is 1 gallon per customer per day, or equivalent residential unit per day. The more you conserve, the harder it gets to make the next meet that goal. So, but we can probably we'll probably beat that. But that's what we are recommending, and keeping that goal that we've had in the past 6 years. So with that, glad to take any comments.
I have a question. Councilmember Edelman.
I probably could have asked you in our meeting, but I didn't. When you figure out this average, or the approximately 1 gallon per ERU, do you just kind of figure an average over the total population of the city? And
yes.
Figure it that way?
Yes.
So that, like with Cedarbrook, when they fix their problem, their water problem up there, we're going to see a significant drop in water usage because it won't just be running in the street.
Well, that's true. We'll notice it because their leaks seem to be pretty big.
Yeah.
We'll notice it system-wide. That'll probably meet for 1 year, I'll meet that goal, and then some.
Yeah, but then we've got the new houses coming online, so that'll peanut butter spread it over a larger population too, then, right?
That's true.
Okay. Thank you.
So is there anybody wishing to speak to this public hearing on the water use efficiency? James.
James Stout, Black Diamond. My question to you is, in light of the Cedarbrook development, the trailer court with their huge water leak, what provisions are there to get that stopped, what is there anything in place to fine force somebody to repair a massive leak like that?
Well, the incentive to fix that leak is already in place with the they're having to pay enormous amounts, and I think we're thinking the payback to fix the leaks is going to be quite short. So they have financial incentive to fix it. They, from all intents and purposes, of their communications with us, is they're already underway to make that happen.
So in the future, if something like this happens again, is there a way to address it more immediate instead of having it continue over such a long time, more than just increase water fees? Is there any fines or anything that like that? Or, you know, you do this or we will do this and then sue you for that?
Well, it's that we could, I don't have the authority to do that, but that would have to be some policy changes to do that. In fact, we have a policy, if a customer has a leak, then and they fix it, they can get a credit on their overage of the bill. So it is when there is a leak suspected for a customer, they're notified and that there is a leak, or we suspect that there is a leak, and so that they have an opportunity to fix it. This particular customer had been informed that he had a leak, but for whatever reason was not willing or able to fix it.
And that is my question, is can something be added to this however that works here, where somebody who will not respond, they will not repair it, and we're not talking one little resident, we're talking a large thing, and have some kind of teeth in there to actually force it and then have them pay for it after the city stepped in and fixed it.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to comment? We will close this public hearing. We will move on to the six-year transportation plan, and we do plan on leaving this one open until we put it on the agenda to be accepted.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a transportation planning document that we actually do annually. So we've laid out projects that we notice we have needs for in several respects, in pavement preservation or rehabbing existing streets, safety projects, capacity adding projects, which are typically like intersection projects, and then sidewalk and pedestrian type and bicycle projects. Primarily they're going to be of the intersection and pavement rehab projects. There's a general ranking of the projects, a brief description, and then the last column explains where we expect to, or where we would expect to see funding. Turning to the last page, this is not a budget that is balanced against the available revenues. This is more a comprehensive list of kind of the need out there. So this is more projects than we could actually fund or and or construct within a six-year period. But we wanted to be able to show the council the full list of where there's need on our street system. When we get to the CIP and the budgets, then we're looking more at what is more realistic and what can we actually expect to complete within a six-year period. With that, I'd love to hear the public's comments.
So do we have anyone wishing to make comments on the six-year transportation improvement plan? Robin.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. Number nine in the ranking is the Morton Creek Pedestrian Connection. And over in the funding source, it says developer funded. Which developer is that, since Morton Creek is an existing neighborhood already? I'm wondering what developer is funding that, and what are, it says frontage improvement, so is that frontage on 169? I'm just curious what developer is providing those funds for that. And if it's Oak Point, I don't understand why they would be funding something like that. So that's why I'm wondering who the developer is. And
so this was a pedestrian connection that was recognized would be valuable for that kind of an isolated community to provide some type of pedestrian connection out to State Route 169. They have, otherwise, there you have to, from anywhere there, you would have to drive. We've had two projects. One moving forward is the Spartan, or is a mini storage. And so when we have two undeveloped pieces of property, there's a requirement with any public road to put in frontage improvements. So then from previous, which was not the case in the previous six-year TIP, with this one, with those two projects, it was obvious that shifted over to a frontage improvement requirement that is required by code of those two vacant properties. As they, if they improve their access roads to their projects, they would be required to construct sidewalks.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else wishing to make comments? Kristen?
Hi, I'm Kristen Bryant. Thanks again for the opportunity to address you. I live in Bellevue, and a couple of comments related to this. First, I grew up on Roberts Drive in Black Diamond, but I don't think you had to grow up there to know the bumpy ride that you get when you drive your car along some portions of Roberts. Some of it's been replaced with some blacktop due to the Oak Point developer constructing their water main under the road, but that's not the same quality of long-lasting material that the old concrete road was. And of course, some places it's still quite bumpy. So one of the comments that I've heard a few people ask is, why is the city putting off the work for the portion Roberts Drive from the library to 169? I think I saw it in here as possibly for the year 2021, ranked number 11. But that seems to score the worst portion of Roberts, although I know that part of it's been replaced in front of City Hall. That's nice, but there's still some really bad spots that seem to be getting put off. The other comment I have is it would be wonderful for more information about each of these projects, especially the ones that are coming up more near term, to have some of the documents that the city has to be put online more accessible. It's hard to make a really significant comment based on the one line of information that goes with each of the projects on this list. And things like under the estimated cost, some of the projects have multiple sources, but it's not, you can't tell by looking at it what there might be as an expected breakdown of that cost between the sources. You can't really say much about any of the projects with just a very high-level overview. And now that the city has gone to a process where they could be charging for time of staff, that if you do a records request to get some of this information, it could make it really hard. It would just simply be easier if some of this were some of these projects where there's clearly been work that went into coming up with the estimates and coming up with the priorities, those documents could be made available to the public. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to comment? Seeing no one, we will continue this public hearing until it comes on the agenda to be approved.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. And public, thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is new business. Is a resolution accepting the 2018 patching project. Mr. Boucher.
With this project, this is preparatory for a project that's in preparation for our chip seal project this summer. So we patched the street from the school on Lake Sawyer Road north to Covington Creek. Previously, we had done some crack sealing on there, so we're now ready for the chip seal project coming later this summer. Additionally, we patched the inside curves of portions of Roberts Drive where the trucks tended to, their trailers would drag off to the side and open up potholes on the in the shoulder. That work has been complete and has been substantially complete and accepted by Public Works. This is a formal action of the city to publicly accept the project and start the clock for us to make sure that the there's time for people if they have a claim against the project, and also time for them to file their paperwork with Labor and Industries and make sure that they've paid all their taxes. So any questions on that?
So I make a motion to adopt Resolution 18-1248 accepting the 2018 patching project by Puget Paving and Construction Incorporated as complete according to the contract documents.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we're now to department reports. Do we have a fire department report?
Good evening, Council. I'm with the fire department. Greg Smith, fire chief. Black Diamond Fire Department. So, a couple things. What I thought I'd give you a little bit of an instant report for so far this month. There's been your fire station 98 have responded to 24 911 incidents so far this month. So that's about 1.4 911 calls per day for Black Diamond Fire Department. Overall, the fire district responds to about 6 calls a day, so about 1/6 of our responses are here at Black Diamond. 16 of those were EMS related issues, which is about 70-80% of what we do. I don't know why they call us the fire department, because that's about 4% of what we do as fire. Most of what we do is emergency medical work. Anymore nowadays. Four of those were paid for, the 24 patient assists, and those, most of those were somebody comes home from the hospital and they can't get their people into the house, we drive out there and help them get into the house. People have surgery and they're in the bathtub and they can't get out, they'll get them out of the bathtub. So we did that 4 times. And we do that quite often, but that's what we do. We're happy to do that. That's actually a pretty easy job for us. One of those was a motor vehicle accident, the one you spoke of. It was upside down. It's like I always say, no one calls fire department because somebody did something smart. So that was lucky that person wasn't injured in that vehicle accident. We had an automatic fire alarm, a brush fire, one burn complaint, and there's been no fire loss. Actually, the city of Black Diamond has a very, very low fire loss. If you look at it population-wise, it's really low, which is a good thing, which means you don't have a lot of fires. We've ordered the new rescue tools. We're actually ordering steps for, I think it's like 5 steps. One of those is for the city of Black Diamond, which will go on stage or at Engine 98. And those rescue tools are, most people know those as the jaws of life. And these are, and I think when we get those, I'll have a couple of firemen bring those to the council so the council can see those. Because they're, they used to be a big motor and a bunch of hoses and then the tool. Now it's electric, believe it or not. So everything's depending on one tool. So it's a lot easier for us to work with. The car goes down over the embankment, we just have to take one tool down. So when we get those, I'll make sure we bring those to the council. Tim Percival, our public information officer, and I attended a symposium in Phoenix about 2 weeks ago. We are one of 10 fire departments in the United States that was part of a grant pilot project. It's mostly for what's called combination departments. So we're a combination department. We're volunteer and career firefighters. So actually we have about 24 career firefighters and about 60 volunteers, so we're mostly volunteer. As a matter of fact, your fire station 98 is staffed from 6 at night to 6 in the morning with a volunteer staff, usually three people. So when you work that out, that's about 13,000 hours a year that people volunteer. And that station has been staffed every single night since we started providing service to the community. So, and that was one of the big issues, when you looked at what you were going to do with the fire service in the community. They were nice when there was no one at that station. In fact, prior to us doing this, there were times when Maple Valley or us would come in to calls in the city of Black Diamond. That hasn't occurred. That station is staffed 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So that's a big thing for the citizens. And we're looking at building a new fire, an additional fire station, replacing Station 99. That would be a really good thing for the citizens of Black Diamond. Attended the public safety meeting on the 10th. We're ramping up our Swiftwater and our wildland training. In fact, we had a Swiftwater rescue on last Sunday down the Green River. And our wildland team went to Renton today for a large brush fire. So, we're getting ready for the brush fires this summer. We're also going out, spending quite a bit of time out 10 trails, drive around, making sure we're familiar with the area. We're doing what's called pre-incident plans, so we know, have maps of where all the streets are. We're worried that somebody out there even in construction is going to call 911. They may not. They'll say, "Well, we're at 10 trails, on Black Diamond." So at least we know where that is, because they may not know where they're at. Because there's no address except for something out there. Also, another thing we're doing is we've purchased some courtesy notices to put on. I guess you could call them alleyways between where the cars go into the garages, and those are supposed to be no parking. And so when we see construction or vehicles parking, we're going to put a courtesy notice on the window, letting them know they're not supposed to be parked there. Let's see. Speaking of volunteers, we hold 2 volunteer academies each year. So schedule for about 4 months, all day, all night, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and all day Saturday for 4 months. And so, once again, volunteering their time to do that. So, and that graduation should be in June. I will let the council know when that is in case someone wants to attend the graduation. I think that's all I have, unless someone has questions.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Chief. Do we have any other department reports? Okay, moving on. I have a mayor's report. So on 5/15, I attended the skateboard meeting at SeaTac, and it was basically by King County Metro, and they talked about how successful our DART program was here in Black Diamond and Enumclaw, and that we were above average of their budget, so they were really happy with it. It's been working well. I attended the 8th anniversary luncheon for the Kiwanis at the Black Diamond Bakery, and last week we had a Public Works Committee, Public Safety meeting, and a Finance Committee meeting. And then last Friday we had our first Welcome to Black Diamond meeting to try to figure out how to do our brochure, and Councilmember Edelman has been working on that. And then yesterday I attended the Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber Luncheon. So let's see, Councilmember Stout, would you like to go first today?
Sure. We're mixing it up a little bit.
John members next time.
I also attended the Public Works Committee meeting where we talked about a lot of the things that were on the agenda for tonight. And we went over some public comments that had been received on the transportation improvement plan. We just wanted to make sure that the public knows that we really do look at those comments as they come in, and the staff evaluates them and makes changes as necessary, and even actually made some changes to the plan before this meeting tonight. I attended the Finance Committee meeting and also the Kiwanis 8th anniversary celebration this week. I went out to the Lake Sawyer Regional Park to get a good look at the signs that have been installed out there, and what a beautiful resource that is that we have. I think it's probably an underused park, a little bit off the main beaten track, trail. And I did read through the minutes that were on the agenda for tonight. It was pretty gut-wrenching, actually, to read all of those minutes. It was rather painful to see how meetings were carried on for the city council in those days and years, and I'm glad those days are behind us. And that is the end of my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, it's actually been pretty quiet for me for once. I haven't had many committee meetings to go to. I do have started a small study on our transportation availability, and I started taking the bus to work.
they won't sing with you.
I know. I was really thinking about printing out lyrics and trying to get people to sing with me tomorrow afternoon. I figured maybe end of day Friday they'd be in a good mood.
Yeah,
but you know, we do have a pretty good a bus route that does come out here, so it is very useful. It gets me to work with only one connection in Bellevue. So I go from here to Renton and then Renton to Bellevue. There's a couple different options. So I recommend folks that if you're like me and want to save money on parking in Bellevue, or save wear and tear on your Jeep with big tires that seems to not sip gas. It means it pretty much chugs it. It's a great opportunity to use public transportation and be a little bit more conscious of your consumption. That's about it.
Councilmember Deedy.
Okay, so I attended the safety meeting. Mother's Day weekend was the hottest on record for Seattle, so we had the safety patrol boats out at the lake, and that was the earliest, right, that they've been out there this year. We had the police or the fire department send out a press release telling all the kiddos and everybody, make Mother's Day happy day and don't go to the river, stay out of the rivers. It's still pretty high and cold. Let's see. I went to the South King County Area Transportation Board. I did the Mother's Day lunch at the community center. And just in case you didn't know, your police and your fire department are also at the community center whenever possible, especially for the police when they can do it. So today we had Chief Kiblinger, Commander Cola Giovanni there, and his wife. We have the fire department come do blood pressure, check in on our seniors there as well. So they're there every Thursday, I believe it is, for the fire department. A couple of other things. Thank you, Mayor, for doing your presentation. That was really good. I appreciate that. I would also like to see at the park, we have those regional signs now. And I think that, you know, it's time for the city to start looking at things that are feel-good projects, and this is a feel-good project. And maybe we could do something after on a weeknight or on a weekend and invite Reagan Dunn, have the council, the mayor, the Park Foundation, staff, whoever wanted to come, and citizens, and get everybody out there to show them the hard work that went into that park for those signage.
Leah Grant of the foundation is working on that.
Is she? Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. So perfect. then we also have a letter to King County that our attorney had been emailing us back and forth. So we've been corresponding with him. I just happened to just say, just call me. I'm tired of sending you emails. So I am happy with the letter that he just sent out. So I'm hoping that everybody here looked at that last letter and think that that letter is great, and we'll just sign it each and send that to King County. And that is on the 169-288 corridor for the park, the trail, and the safety of our citizens and even Maple Valley citizens and anybody that comes out to use our area.
And we have that here to sign tonight.
Okay, perfect. I guess that's it. Thank you.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, had a little extra time on my hand this week. So I attended the Black Diamond Labor Day's second meeting of the year. We still have plenty of meetings for more volunteers to join us every second and fourth Wednesday at the bakery at 6:30. If you want to get involved in a really great tradition, we're always looking for volunteers. I think that's the theme of our city. Volunteers, volunteers, volunteers. Love to see you there. I did attend the safety committee meeting. I did attend the first time the finance committee, which was really a nice thing to do in place of Tammy. She allowed me to go to that. We were able to. So. That was really fun to go to and speak to Ms. May and hear about our finances. And it was nice. It was cool to see that. I attended the welcome committee, and it sounds like we have a great, in the future, a good
start.
Good start for our welcome committee, for our new citizens, in Ten Trails, and also in our city here, too. So everywhere in Black Diamond, not just the Ten Trails area. Also attended the Kiwanis 8 celebration birthday lunch, which is really yummy. And for the first time ever, I attended the Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber luncheon, which was really interesting. There's a lot of great speakers that come to that lunch, and it was a good experience, so enjoyed that. I had the pleasure of helping Pat Nelson with that sign for the police this week, so I thank him very much to I could be involved in that. It was a really nice thing with the school, and they were very acceptive for that. And I was able to have a long conversation with Seth regarding the public open discussion and what we had on our public hearing today, so he helped me understand that a lot more, and thank you, Seth, for taking time out for that. And that's it.
Councilmember Adam.
Okay. One thing that I want to piggyback on what Tammy was talking about, the intersection of 288 and 169, when Councilmember Dunn was here, we talked about that intersection because the Cedar to Green Trail runs right through that. And I drive on that multiple times a day. I walk down there a lot. You can get bicyclists that come from Maple Valley heading south. They come down a hill, they run across the street, and then back up again. They're not paying attention to the cars. The cars are not paying attention to them, and we're just very fortunate that nobody's been killed yet. So Tammy and I had talked to Reagan about we need a bridge there, and because to grade on both sides to get it to where it would be safe, even with a signal, which is going to happen at some point in our future, it's still going to be very dangerous, not only for the pedestrians, the bicyclists, but for the cars. And because the cars are coming off 169 doing 50 miles an hour, and it's a corner, and so they're not paying attention to that. And I've actually witnessed where a bicyclist almost got hit one time a few years ago. So I am still working. I've sent a couple of emails to Councilmember Dunn. So we want to get higher on his radar screen. Maybe he can get some grant funding. But I want him to come out and actually see it. So then the other comment I want to make before I get into all the other stuff I've done is the business about the meeting minutes. First of all, when an email is sent at 3:05, I happen to look at my email at 10 minutes to 6 tonight. That's not enough time for council members to respond to anything. It was painful enough to have to sit through those meetings, but I volunteered to help Brenda out and Kathy Allen, the deputy clerk, to go back through and listen to those hours and hours and hours of pain. You notice how gray my hair is? It didn't used to be gray. So this is a council, you will find, too, that we all do our homework. We listen to, we read. If we have questions, we go talk to the appropriate staff member to get an answer. So we did the right thing tonight, and I want to thank this council. We can put that 2 years' worth of inaction behind us and move on. So what I've been doing the last couple weeks, I also participated in the Public Works meeting that we talked about tonight. I went to the Public Issues Committee meeting, which is part of Sound Cities Association, and that's always interesting. Most of the time, we have what we call the pre-pick. It is a one-hour meeting prior to the Public Issues Committee meeting where different agencies come in and give us a heads-up on what's going on. So there was a lot of discussion still about affordable housing. Now, most of it is geared towards, you know, Seattle, Bellevue, Kirkland, and those areas. But, you know, we're looking at the same kind of issues here. These houses going up in tent trails are not cheap houses. So that's going to be a big, big deal. Of some other things that are coming up that was in the meeting, Medic One, it is expiring in 2019. So the powers that be are now working on that. They're doing all their planning and trying to figure out their financing. That goes for the vote of the people, but I don't have any ballot date yet. And you guys will all be really happy to know that there's going to be a new metro sewer rate. You need to understand, too, that that's a direct pass-through from metro through the city to your bills. It's a 2.5% increase. It'll be $45.33, and however, I don't have sewer, so I don't know how that works. They're also talking about a new capacity charge for new connections. It's a 3% increase, and that'll be $64.50. So every time a new house turns the meter on, they get another charge. Something that I think the council needs to be aware of in June, I won't be here, I'll be on vacation, but Ann McFarland is doing the pre-pick, Jurassic Parliament, and it's all Robert's Rules of Order. And it's fun. It's really, really fun.
With
so,
dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs, yeah, with props. And it's just, but she has such a way about her that it is well worth it. So that will be the June meeting, which I don't remember the date off the top of my head. I'll send an email out to you guys if you can make it. It's at Renton City Hall up on the 7th floor in the council chambers area, but there's another conference room. In June, the Puget Sound Regional Council Vision 2050, no, that was June. In July is the Puget Sound Regional Council Vision 2050 information. In September, there's going to be some OPMA training. And then in November, and it's something I really want to get on board on, is social media, because we're kicking and screaming, we're heading that direction. So in case anybody's interested, we decided that for new citizens, not just Ten Trails people, anybody coming into town, we need to do something. We started out with like a welcome wagon, and they just disappeared. And then we thought, well, we can do it ourselves. So instead of doing a big booklet, I'm down to where I'm going to do probably like a little pamphlet kind of a thing. But I've got, if somebody's interested, I've got a big blow up of, and this is really a rough draft, but it's basically going to be the mayor and a message from the mayor. We're going to have, here's the city government. Here's all the neat things that you can do in the city of Black Diamond. We're going to get photographs. I'm going to sit down with Brenda and we'll plug in like Railroad Avenue and the museum and the police department and make it really nice so that when people come in and sign up for all of their utility billing, we can say, welcome to Black Diamond. And then we can also put them out at all of our strategic locations, City Hall, community development. And so it's just another step of becoming a little bit bigger city. The other thing that we're going to add, and we've got a bunch, I got a bunch of these. Last year, the Chamber of Commerce created this fun map of the city of Black Diamond, and on the back page are all the businesses that were that are numbered on here. This also will be in our brochure, and I'm just excited. It's a lot of fun. I put a lot of work into it in the last 4 or 5 days, but hopefully in the next month or so we'll have something pretty concrete. That's it.
So I just wanted to talk about two meetings. We talked about July 5th meeting is the day after the 4th of July. And at this point, we don't have anything on the futures agendas list, and so I was wondering if you were interested in canceling that meeting. Some cities, City Maple Valley cancels all our meetings in August, and we have never done that, but it would probably be okay to cancel that meeting because it's after the 4th of July. So you guys need to decide if you want to make a motion to do that.
Mayor.
So, Councilmember Deedy.
So I'm good with that. And as far as you know, there won't be any items coming up for until the next meeting. Is that what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. There won't.
Right.
There's nothing
right.
for July.
There's nothing.
Right.
No.
There's nothing on the futures agenda list.
And we're only obligated to have one meeting a month per the RCW. Yeah.
Okay. So I make a motion that we cancel July 5th council meeting 2018.
I second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, the other issue is Janie and I are going to be gone in the second meeting in June, and there's you can either reschedule the meeting or you can just have another mayor pro tem and run the meeting without me here, and whoever's elected as the mayor pro temporary mayor to pro tem can run the meeting, continue the meeting. And what was the date on that one?
The actual meeting of the meeting date is June 21st. But if I can talk.
Yes.
What I would suggest, I mean, if you guys want to go ahead and have a meeting without us, that's fine. But I might suggest that we just postpone it until Monday the 25th. We'll both be back in town. And I'm not sure what you've got on the futures agenda list now, but either way, Monday works for me. So what do you guys want to do?
Councilmember Deedy.
So I'm good with keeping the meeting, or we can cancel it. It's whatever you guys are comfortable with. I've ran the meetings before, so I'm good with that. But there is no harm to cancel that meeting and move it to the Monday.
We postpone.
Yeah. So it's whatever you guys want to do.
I'm okay with either. I'm okay with postponing it. I'm okay with going ahead. Well, let's check. Are the rest of us available those days?
Would we postpone to same hours?
Yes. 7 o'clock, evening, Monday.
Same thing. I mean, my personal opinion is I think that the citizens need to have all their representatives here out of council, so I'm in favor of postponing it to the 25th.
Okay, then I'll move that we postpone the Thursday, June 21st meeting to the following Monday, June 25th, 7 o'clock.
I second the motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. do we have an attorney's report? So this is time for our second public comments. Please come up to the podium and state your name and your city residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to address council? Kevin.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. This is just some information, and I know it's probably not the city's issue, but if you've noticed over at the King County Housing Project, they're not taking care of the landscaping. I don't know if any of the seniors have mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Okay, good, because it's causing some stress over there. I told them that I would pass them along just to make sure you knew with citizens. The senior park across the street, they're supposed to mow the lawn every week and take care of the thing as part of their rent, and they're not doing it. I don't know what's going on.
So,
but you know what's going on.
So I was told by one of the members that is in there that either the landscaping crew quit or King County fired them. They're not sure, but they didn't have a backup, so they're out for RFQs or whatever that King County does, and they're just waiting for a new company to come in. So you're right, the yards and their park and everything is quite overgrown.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure the council is aware of that.
Yeah.
Is anybody else wishing to address council? Robin.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I'll make it up for the last meeting when I didn't say anything. two things happened here tonight that just absolutely excite me, and that is a man on the council that you can actually hear when he votes. You can hear it. You don't have to wonder, did he vote, did he not vote? I appreciate that you sit up and you vote and we can hear it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The other thing is, we had a report from Chief Smith in the fire department. Mm-hmm. It has been over 2 years yes. since we have had that, and it is so appreciated, Chief. Thank you for coming and giving us a report. The citizens need to know what their fire department is doing for them and what we're looking at. Thank you very much. And I look forward to those tools coming in to get to see those, and I will make sure that my husband knows.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comments. We will be having a closed session to discuss labor attorney collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 40.30.1404 after the adjournment of the meeting. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.